Today is the 30th day of September 2018. I hope all of you took time yesterday to utter a prayer of happy birthday to the Lord on his birthday, because I believe that September 29th is, if not dead on, pretty close to the true birthday of the Lord in his birth in the flesh here on the earth, not his conception, but his birth. And I think about that every time the 29th of September rolls around. It's one of those things that kind of pops in my mind, and I try to believe. Because, you know, as we wish each other happy birthday, if somebody come along to me about the middle of July and said happy birthday, I'd kind of look at them funny and say, my birthday ain't till November. And I can't help but think, you know, that if the Lord, if you want to admonish the Lord's birthday, that you need to do it on the right day, or he would be just as confused or disappointed maybe as we were. Just a kind of a weird moot point there, but didn't want to bring that out. If you're going to say happy birthday to somebody, it behooves you to know their birthday. So with that being said, our purpose in this study on blood is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of blood through looking at it, through looking at God's mention and usage of it throughout Scripture. So we'll be continuing again today when I learn to talk with our ongoing study of blood and how it's used in God's Word in 392 verses throughout Scripture. So we're still looking and going through and understanding what we can of blood through the usage of the Word throughout God's Word. And for our last study last week, we looked at the blood in 2 Kings chapter 24 and in 1 Chronicles 11. And though both of these only mention blood once, we took the time to see how it was used in both places. And more importantly, looked at the history behind the verses that we read about. Because this study is not just on the word itself, but how the word is used, how God uses blood, the inferences that God uses in Scripture to blood, and the power of it. So all these things are kind of wound in to our study that we're looking at here. So for today's study, and shouldn't take very long at all. We should, even though we got a late start, should still be done in plenty of time to get Barney in here. So for today's study, let's look at the mention of blood in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. So like I said last week, whenever we went through Kings, we were looking at one camera view, so to say, of the life of most of the kings or all of the kings of the nation of Israel. In Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, chronicle many of the same events through a different point of view. So that's what we're looking at in Chronicles now, is sort of the flip view, or the world's view, so to say, of some of the same events. So we've sort of rewound in time and went back to King David's day in this time. So that's what we're going to look at today. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, I'm going to read all 19 verses, but I want you to note the mention of blood in verse 8. And this has to do with the blood that David shed during the time that he was king of Israel. And now I want you to remember in the back of your mind during all of this that David was God's king. David was the king that God wanted in place over Israel. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, you'll see some things when we read that may you may or may not be aware of. I think most of you probably are. So it says in verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 22, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David, verse 2, commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons and to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. David is purposed here with rounding up the materials to build God's house, the temple of God. Verse 4, also cedar trees in abundance, the materials. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said this, now listen to what it says here beginning in verse 5. David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical. You ever heard the word magnifical before? David said, if we're going to build God a house, it's got to be exceeding magnifical. I thought that was a cool word. I've never seen it before. But it's got to be magnificent above all other magnificent things that exist on the earth. Because you know how God and David's relationship was. You know from reading the Psalms and the Proverbs how David felt about his God and his Savior, his buckler, his protector, his sword in time of need, the one, his provider. David had all these descriptive words for Jehovah God in the scripture. So he said, the house that we build for him has got to be exceeding magnificent of fame and glory throughout all countries. It's got to be the best of the best, he says. I will therefore now make preparations for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. But now get this. David didn't build the temple of the Lord. He prepared the materials for Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. Now, let's read on. Then he called, verse 6, for Solomon his son, and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, now listen to what David says to his son, who has been identified now as the future king of the nation of Israel. He said, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. David said, I had it in my mind to do this thing, to build God a house. Look at verse 8. But. And there's the big but. David said, I had it in my mind to do it, but God had another idea. And guess which one David is going to go with? David being the man that he was and one who was after God's own heart, went with God's word instead of his own notions. And that, as Barney says, is correct worship. That's perfect worship. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, and listen to what he said. Here's the blood in chapter 22. Thou hast shed blood abundantly. That fact alone meant enough to God to keep this man after his own heart from building his temple. Just the fact that David had shed blood abundantly during his reign. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Just that singular fact kept God from allowing David to build him a temple because of the blood that was on David's hands. I'm showing everybody my hands, and you can't see that, of course. But that's the point I want to make. That's the big point with the blood here in chapter 8. It was this fact alone, I hope you get this, thou hast shed blood abundantly, he said, and hast made great wars. Now, most of these wars were under God's blessing against the Philistines and other enemies of Israel. But God literally holds David responsible for the abundant blood that was shed. Let's read on. He said, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Because, David, I saw you shed so much blood in my sight. Now, God didn't say that it wasn't necessary. And I don't don't think he's really holding David personally responsible, because David did what had to be done against the enemies of Israel to protect the nation of Israel. But the mere fact that David had been responsible for shedding so much blood, even though in most cases it was Philistine blood, that was still enough for God to say, you know, I don't mind you gathering up the materials, but I really don't want you to be in charge of building me a house. And notice that this blood, the charge of it, another fact I want you to see, does not carry on with David down through his lineage. Because why? Because Solomon is his son, and Solomon is going to be the one to build the temple. So that blood responsibility stops with David, evidently. And I'm just saying that from what I see in Scripture. So let's read on. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. The reason can't get any plainer. The reason David is not going to build the house can't get any plainer than what God states it here. So let's read on verse 9. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. God wanted his house, evidently, not to be built under the rule of bloodshed, but under what? Under the time of peace and quietness, under Solomon. And God said, this is coming. Roll back with me a couple of chapters, back to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now you may be wondering, well, how did David come to know this? Where did he get this insight? Well, all this is laid out for us in chapter 17. So turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and then we'll pick back up with our story in 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 17:1. Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet evidently was close by David there. And David said this to Nathan. He said, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. It bothered David that he sat in a nice house made out of these beautiful cedars, and that the ark of the covenant of the Lord was under a bunch of curtains, under tents. So, David had the things of God in mind, evidently, all along. He was one who communed very closely with God. I think the Psalms and the Proverbs are a testimony to that, David's closeness with his Savior. Verse 2, then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. This is God's prophet now, talking to David. And it came to pass that same night, verse 3, that the word of God came to Nathan. And God told Nathan this, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord. Look at this, verse 4. Thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. Nathan, you go tell David, he's not going to build it. Now, I bet Nathan's jaw fell open. And here's the reasons. Let's look at God's reasons. For I have not dwelt in that house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. And today, you know, these preachers stand up and say, welcome to God's house, everybody. I guess, well, maybe they just don't know. He said, wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me an house of cedars? Did I tell anybody to build me a cedar house, God says? See, we get ourselves in trouble when we get to thinking, well, here's what God wants. That's when the trouble starts. God said, did I tell any of my prophets that I wanted a house built out of cedars? And the rhetorical answer is here, no, I did not. I didn't tell anybody that. He said, now therefore, verse 7, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, Nathan, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also, verse 9, I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness, waste them any more as the beginning. Verse 10, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I will tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. This is God telling Nathan, hey Nathan, remind David who's in charge here. Remind David that I understand the gesture, but I've done this, and I've done that, and I brought the people out, and I will subdue the enemies, and tell David that I will tell the Lord, or I will tell thee that the Lord will build a house. You tell David, I'll tell him when the house is to be built. And he says in verse 11, and it shall come to pass, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom, talking of Solomon. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. According to all these words, verse 15, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And that's how David came to know what he was telling Solomon in chapter 22. It's almost imperative that we read verse 16 before we go back. So after David found this out, and David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, look at what he said in his lamentation.
Just what? To confirm,
oh, kids are playing with the Alexa.
No, they're not.
And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the state of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant. O Lord, for thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, thou hast done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, verse 20, he says, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee according to all that we have heard with our ears. There's David's prayer back to God after he realized that he had overstepped his bounds a bit. Now, turn with me back to chapter 22. And let's pick up with verse 10. 1 Chronicles 22:10. David now explaining this and going on, he says, he shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. This is David recounting what God told him concerning what we just read. And he says, now, my son, in verse 11, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. You got to keep the law. Then thou shalt prosper, verse 13. If thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage, dread not nor be dismayed. Be strong and don't be bewildered by what you see, he says. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver. That's 1,000,000 talents of silver. That's a lot of silver. And of brass and iron without weight. For it is an abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. He said, I've got all this together. I've prepared it, and you can add to it. He said, moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Any kind of work you want done, there's somebody here in the kingdom that can take care of it. Of the gold, verse 16, the silver and the brass and the iron, there is no number. You can't even weigh it. I got so much. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with you. David's basically saying, son, get to it, and God be with you in building the house of the Lord, better known as Solomon's temple. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son. And he told them this, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, he said, set your heart, verse 19, and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. And there's the charge both of David to his son Solomon and to those craftsmen of the land that would be actually doing the work of building the temple of God, Solomon's temple. Now, turn with me over to chapter 28. First Chronicles 28. There again, we have one mention of blood, and that's going to be in verse 3. I want to read 28 because it goes along, basically, with 22 and what we've been reading already. It says, and David assembled all the princes, First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains. No sound. Okay. Good there? Must be... we may be having some pal talk issues. If some of you have it and some of you don't, then it's probably pal talk. Let me pause it here. All right, can anybody hear me? Everybody hear me okay now? Carolyn does. Y'all should know that Carolyn hears me just fine. Okay, good. We'll keep going then. Sorry about that. Yeah, if you get sporadic sound and it's only some and not others, then usually that's the Paltalk audio server.
You know, we had that problem right at the end.
Yeah, sometimes it'll do that, and the microphone will go away if the audio server drops you for whatever reason. I don't know what causes that, something within the Paltalk system, but anyway, try to hang with us here through 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll be done here shortly. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men under Jerusalem. Wow. That's a pretty good crowd. Everybody of importance is here. Then David the king, now listen to this, try to picture this in your mind as we read it. Then David the king stood up upon his feet, and he said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But he's going to tell it like it happened. Look at verse 3. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." David got it. He understood. And he didn't push back against God about God's wishes for the building of his house. He said in verse 4, "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." He's saying, look, y'all, God picked me out of the tribe of Judah to be king over all Israel forever. So him and his seed forever. He said in verse 5, "And all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons," David said, "he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." Verse 6, "And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." Well, God said, "I'll be Solomon's father." Pretty big commitment there. "Moreover," he says in verse 7, "I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day." Well, we know the rest of the story there, don't we, from Dad's study. Mm-hmm. King Solomon sort of fell off the wagon a bit toward the end of his reign. "Now therefore," he says in verse 8, "in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God," and he's basically given a charge here. He says, "keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." The promises of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob to Judah, to Judah's sons, to Jesse, to David, and now down to David's sons. And David charges the people, saying, "keep the commandments that God gave, that ye may possess this good land and pass it on to your children after you." He says, God has given you this. The promises made to the fathers continued through the lineage of David. "And thou, Solomon, my son," verse 9, he says, "know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." Wow. Really? Does God really do all that? Well, David said he did. If he knows the number of hairs on your head, and when a sparrow falls to there,
that ain't near all he knows.
No, that's not all he knows. I agree with Dad. The Creator knows everything of our hearts and in our minds and on our bodies, everything. Think about that. If thou seek him, he said, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You got to seek him, David says. Take heed now, verse 10. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Lost me again.
It was just
me. Okay.
Because I see the
microphone coming and going. Yeah. Okay, solid now. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it may come and go a little bit. I don't know what causes that. We're almost done here. Let me read on down through. Then David gave, verse 11, to Solomon his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. David passed all these plans, along with the materials, on to Solomon his son, so that Solomon could be strong and do it. See, Nike thought that they had really thought something up when they said, just do it. Well, David said that Solomon centuries ago. Be strong and do it. Do it. Execute the will of the Lord. Do what God tells you to do. Do it, he says. He said also for the courses of the priest. Remember the course of Abiah that we read about in Luke chapter 2? That had carried on even up to that day? The courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. And he gave of gold by weight for things of gold. He goes now through all these instruments, the weight of the candlesticks, in verse 15. By the weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread in 16. Pure gold for the flesh hooks in 17. All these materials, all these measurements, all these instructions, what we would call today floor plans and detailed drawings, dimensions, bills of materials. He's passing all this on to Solomon for execution. Do it. Just do it. And for the altar of incense in verse 18, refined gold by weight, gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Look at verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. God literally wrote all these plans, weights, details, bills of material into David's mind for him to recount to Solomon. Does that surprise anybody here? Don't surprise me. Now, I like to think that I can remember things that I helped design, and most times I can pretty good. But we're talking about something on a scale that's really difficult for one man to keep it all straight. I can't imagine the level of detail that God wrote into the mind of David as he showed him what he wanted this temple to look like. Can you? I mean, we're talking all the furnishings, everything. And he said, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me. What does that mean? God just gave it to him. Just do it. And he was passing all this on to Solomon, his son. Even all the works of this pattern, he says. And David said to Solomon, verse 20, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it, do it, do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priest and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. See, there wasn't just the house. The priest and the Levites had these courses of service.
Jobs to do.
Jobs to do.
Keep it going.
Exactly. It was a moving, living, working thing. It wasn't just a temple. It was all this activity going on. And even that was given David by God. Amazes me when I read these things. Absolutely amazes me. Even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, he says, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. All, every resource, every resource you can imagine, he says, Solomon, is at your disposal. So go forth and do it.
This was the reason I think he gives Solomon all this wisdom.
He had to have it. Reading this made me think about that. Because Solomon, he got to the point where he prayed for it. Lord, just give me wisdom.
More, give me more.
Give me more wisdom to know what I got to know concerning thee. And God gave it to him. Of all the things he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom.
And by the time he got it done, he understood that he was going, that his son that he was going to pass this to was going to lose part of that kingdom to the Assyrians.
Exactly. But he did it anyway.
But he did it anyway.
He did it. God, you know, David said, just do it. God will be with you. And Solomon just did it. I think today there's a lot of, you know, preach the mystery. Our charge is to preach it, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. You gotta just do it.
The enigma of all these things that we have a little bit of information on, but we don't have enough information to fully explain how God can do all this stuff. We don't have it. That is our enigma.
Yeah.
We know to a point.
It's part of the mystery of God in this. How does he do these things?
We know to a point. We don't know. I found out something this week too that I didn't know. That when Solomon met Melchizedek, and Melchizedek in
you mean Abraham?
Abraham, I'm sorry,
yeah.
In the Hebrews, when he met him, and Melchizedek, he gave Melchizedek the 10% of all these
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Well, what was this being that they didn't know who he was, where he come from, all this? What was he going to do with this 10% of God's spoils, or the spoils that he gave him? But the reason why that it was given, it says, because the seed of Abraham which would be present in Aaron's sons, the tribe of Levites, to do this work in the temple of God, even before the temple was even built or anything. They come up to that point. Now, how can God keep in Abraham's loin a seed present for all these hundreds of years till all this comes about?
Well, as we both know, that's not much of a problem for God to do. That's pretty.
You know, because
that's pretty significant.
Because we understand that that man's seed just don't last too long, and you know it has to do its business pretty quickly with a egg or a seed, with the seed, but
that's God's ability to see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end.
And also, I think this is where Paul got the understanding that Abraham's look for the city.
Yeah.
If he could do that, he could do anything.
Exactly. Amen. Good point. Well, we'll stop there, folks. Let me stop recording here.